a place the Lord put our sins in? Going over to 1 John 3:9, and I know we know this, but do we know it for ourselves? Is this truly how clean the ashes of our lives, that sin, that once and for all sacrifice? Is this truly what you believe? Whosoever is born of God. Whosoever here is born of God. I'm born of God. Are you born of God? Do you have the blood on your life? Praise be to God. Whosoever is born of God, what? Doth not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. That's how far, praise the Lord, your sin has been made from as the east is from the west, put in the sea of forgetfulness. Those ashes were taken out and put in a clean place. Glory. Now you're set. But once again, without really seeing that, you'll never go on from that. As we talked about last week, most of God's precious people still hanging out here, out in this courtyard area, because they don't take the finished work that happened at that altar, at the cross. And God forbid that would be us, because there's no going on without taking the fullness of the power of the blood. What we're going to see tonight, now going on, everything pleasing will come from that altar. Everything pleasing comes from the cross. Everything. Because nothing but the blood can please the Father. Nothing but the blood can please the Father. Without the shedding of blood, this isn't here. All right? But it is. Praise God. So we thank the Lord that blood is shed. The remission of sin is right there. Amen? All the way into that holy of holies. The very height of what we, by the grace of God, we press for that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what is back there? It's the same blood. It's the same blood that's on that mercy seat. That's the same power that takes us all the way along. You move through there one way with the blood. That's it. That's how you move. Praise God. We move through life one way with the blood. See, the blood is everything. It's the power. But see, what the blood is, it's the grace and it's the mercy. Amen? Mercy flowed. Grace flowed. Truth. Praise the Lord. Everything comes from the blood. Now, gets more exciting. Hallelujah. This sacrificial lamb was laid every morning and every night. There was a lamb on that altar. Every morning and every night. There was a lamb on there all the time. Isn't that beautiful? Always the lamb. Bring me the lamb. Started with Abel. Abel, bring me that lamb. See, there was no other way into the tabernacle except at the east gate. The tribe of Judah was even camped out on the east gate, or the entrance into the tabernacle. Isn't that precious? That's our precious Jesus from the tribe of Judah. You didn't enter in there. It was right there. And once we get to the back parts of that, we're going to see the three tribes that are in the backside. And you'll say, wow, that's cool too. So God's got it. And he's got a lot of wonderful things in here. But see, this all represented the spotless Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Now, how this would all start is a person. Go ahead, if you would, Tim, and go back to that tabernacle. There we are. So right here is that gate. This is the east gate. Tribe of Judah camped right out in here. All right. So you come to this east gate. And if you can see what we have, these little figures and stuff. And this guy's bringing up his little sheep and different things here. And what would happen is an individual would bring his heifer or goat or lamb. It had to be a firstborn male without blemish. All right? Just like with Abel. It's never changed. Bring me the lamb. And when that would happen, that man would come to the priest. They would meet right there. And that man then would have to place his hands upon the head of that animal that he brought. He would confess his guilt, and he would slay the animal himself. The priest did not slay that animal. That person had to bring that animal in and slay that animal himself. What that represents is, before the Lord, we take responsibility for our own sin when we come to Him for salvation. Amen? We must really recognize and realize our sin put that innocent Lamb of God on the cross. And because He was made sin for me, I'm made also the very righteousness of God. What an exchange. Praise the Lord. Now, the priest then would take that sin offering that that individual would bring in, cut it into pieces. They would examine it. It would be found clean. And then would come the first thing. They would go on in and put that on the brazen altar. Now, brothers and sisters, this was the only place for Israel to make a sacrifice of sin, was right there on that altar. There was no other place. It had to be right there. And that, praise God, was just as for us. The only place is the cross. I mentioned already how those precious ashes from that sacrifice represented that sin. And all of those ashes then from that sacrifice that was burnt down and gone, but just ashes, they would take out all of those ashes and take it outside the camp and put into a clean place. Now, once a year, there was a very special thing that would happen. On the Day of Atonement, there would be a sin offering to cleanse the children of Israel. Once again, it all began at the brazen altar. Once a year, that God's wrath would be quenched. I love that, because you think about, even as those Israelites were there imprisoned in Egypt, as the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." It was never going to change. That pattern was always the same. I'm going to magnify my son. It's because of the blood that he will shed for you. And so what would happen on that precious time of the atonement, of the sin offering, and we will call it, which it is, that perfect blood would be sprinkled every bit of the way as you go through the tabernacle. Tim, I'd like you actually, if you would, I'm changing up on you a little bit. Can you go to that slide of the tabernacle? I think it's yellow. There we go. Man, you're quick there, brother. He's up. I like that. Thank the Lord. That fella's got a heart for God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, every step of the way, that blood from this brazen altar is going to be sprinkled as we go along. It cannot go in without that blood. That blood has to be taken, and the blood from that sacrifice is going to make the way. The perfect blood would be sprinkled even upon the mercy seat, even in the Holy of Holies. Every time that blood was sprinkled, it was sprinkled seven times. Isn't that gorgeous? That perfection. Always magnifying the wonderful work of His Son, the beautiful blood of His Son. There's nothing else that's going to make you clean. There's nothing else that's going to grow you up. There's nothing else that's going to sit you in the midst of the throne with Him, except truly the power, the grace, the beauty, the depth of the meaning of the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. See, the blood always brings us back to mercy. It always does. See, sometimes we can get a little bit, well, haywire, because we start thinking with our brain. Our nature is we want to do. God says it's done. Our nature says we want to work for something. God says it's finished. Amen? We are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. It's all by His grace that He takes us on. That's the beauty of the blood of the Lamb. That's the beauty of always recognizing, praise be to God, Lord, you gave it all. It's all because of your life. It's all because of your death. It's all because of your resurrection. It's all because of you. And we just thank the Lord as there is no other way to go through but in weakness. It's always grace, the five pillars, grace. Amen. Going through here, you're going into grace. You want to go back to the Holy of Holies? You want to come into that fellowship of ruling and reigning as those precious cherubim crown that wonderful ark as the lid on the ark, which is that wonderful mercy seat? You're going to go through four pillars. It's grace and weakness all the time. It's five and four and five and four and five and four. It's always going to be grace, but who does he give grace to? The humble. That broken heart, that contrite spirit, that's the one that the Lord will work with. But see, we can have all this knowledge, and I'll tell you what, you get haughty anywhere along here, you're in trouble. You'll find yourself back here running into the curtains. And that's the truth. You'll be seeing all of that righteousness, which is glorious, but somehow, some way, we think somehow we had something to do with it. We've been made it because of the brazen altar. Isn't that something? Fully righteous, completely holy, right there. Right there. And all it is just to lock into that. And then grow, and we'll get to that later next week. All that wondrous water, the Word of God. All that wondrous water, the Word of God. And oh, what's seen in that wondrous Word, praise the Lord. Always washing in that, the hands and the feet we'll see. Oh my. And isn't that ironic again? It's all Him. Jesus all the way along. Praise God. Now, so that blood sprinkled seven times. Each time the priest would sprinkle it. And we're going to talk about the things he sprinkles it on here in just a second. But he'd dip his finger in it and he'd sprinkle it seven times. That perfection of that wondrous blood. Now, the blood would be sprinkled on the four horns on that altar. That blood sprinkled on the four horns of that altar was the forgiveness of sin. Once again, the strength in weakness. The grace that we have now that gives us the strength that we go on boldly. The Word of God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? It doesn't say to, well, I wonder. We're accepted in the Beloved. Now are we the sons of God. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Praise God, the transformation was made. We entered into that death with Him, and we have been raised. Remember that precious brazen altar? Obviously has the death on it. It has that sacrifice on it. But it's 3 cubits high. The resurrection's on it as well, too. I've died with Him, and I'm raised. Praise God. And you get right there, you're ready to run. Amen. And where do you run right next to? You're going to run right into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Because tell you what, you got to be right there at that Word before you get in here and start to see some things. See, without the Word of God and really understand it, you get in places like Revelation, you start seeing cherubim, you're wondering what in the world's going on here. It's the truth. But you get this Word, you go through that grace. Tell you what, you're going to get enlightened eyes of understanding because you're going to understand the need for being filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to find out that, man, those eyes are wonderful. And what it lights up first is I see this golden table with the shewbread on it. That golden table, I'll tell you what, that's got deity food. It's the Feast of Kings. You're in there. You're not eating crumbs. You're eating strong meat. Huh? And you have enlightened eyes and you start feeding on that word like that. My, oh my, you wind up right there at a golden altar of incense. The worship and the praise that comes out of your life. The thankfulness to God. Seeing cherubim within the heavenlies, in the raining, all over the place. Amen? And then you move on through and the manifestation of the sons of God someday. The cherubim that came right out of that mercy seat. Crowning, praise God, the Lord Himself. It's marvelous. But see, they sprinkled that blood. They sprinkled it right there on the horns, all set to go. Then that blood would be sprinkled right there on the altar of incense that we talked about, which was right here. They would sprinkle that 7 times again on that altar of incense. And so what that would speak of is that holy place right there before the entrance into the Holy of Holies, there's no worship, there's no fervent love without the blood. Amen? See, whose wife is it that we're talking about here? It's the Lamb's wife, isn't it? What does John see? He sees the Lamb slain in Revelation. It's always about that blood. He's got a vesture dipped in blood. That power's all there. And I thank God, hallelujah, that this is, it's everything. You don't move one bit without the blood. And it's on that wonderful entrance into the Holy of Holies. There's no worship without the blood of God. Then it was sprinkled upon the curtain to open. And only the blood opens the way into the deepest intent and fellowship of God's heart. That blood had to be sprinkled on the golden altar of incense. And it had to be sprinkled right at the base of them curtains. Always the blood. Always the thankfulness, praise God, Jesus, hallelujah, the Lamb slain. See, aren't you falling in love with Him more and more and more and more with the Lamb? Praise God as we go along. That's us. This is it. This is the mystery. This is our walk in Christ as we go through here. That blood, it opens the way into the deep intent and fellowship with the heart of God. And then finally, praise the Lord, as you get back there into the Holy of Holies, that blood would be sprinkled before the mercy seat and upon the mercy seat. Let me tell you something. I just thrill. The mercy seat, brothers and sisters, it's the reigning throne of God. That midst of the throne is all mercy. Praise God. And that mercy is going to be praised forever. The cherubim are one with Him. And what do they stare right back at? They come out of that precious, wondrous ark. Those cherubim over that ark. And they bow right back down and look upon the blood that is sprinkled on the mercy seat. Their gaze never changes. They're not looking up. They're not even looking at one another. They look at the blood. Their wings cover their face. The worship. This is it. This is where He's taken us. All from the blood. All from the brazen altar. Always, never changes. The cross, His blood gave us everything. All grace given to us fully for all things right there at that cross. We're fully equipped. You know, that everything about the Word of God just keeps bringing us back to how beautiful the life of Christ is in us. And I do, I always rejoice with the Lord thinking, again, that moment of salvation, the moment that we're born of God. Every child of God is born Lord of all. Every one of us. And not to serve, but an heir, and an heir to reign jointly. Not an heir just to get, but an heir to reign jointly. Right here, everything starting, and praise be to God, everything given to truly grow in the knowledge and grow, praise God, in all the deity. All that judgment, praise the Lord, all of that precious finished work. And now, honeys, all I want you to do, you're immediately born an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ if you'll suffer with him. Couple last things about this. Even the fire of that was at the fire of the golden altar of incense, that fire that burned there, were from the coals of the brazen altar. I don't know how many here remember the story about Nadab and Abihu. Those were the sons of the prophets. It showed way back then, it's not a good idea to get drunk. It said they got drunk. All right? And they got fire. And they tried to put fire from something other than the brazen altar. And you know what happened to them? They were killed. They were destroyed. Everything from the brazen altar. Everything, praise God, at the cross. Finally, one of the things that is so rejoicing, we talk about how, remember how in the Holy of Holies, they went in there and the priest got in there and the smoke started building up so much that even the priests had to get out of there. And all that remained in the Holy of Holies was the ark and the cherubim. Well, here's how that all happened. What happened is a cloud would arise from the Holy of Holies. And the reason was, is because those priests would fill a censer with the burning coals from the brazen altar. All the fire in that whole place was all from that brazen altar. Everything. He's the fire. He's the inspiration. He's the light. He's everything. And so they took that fire that was in those censers and they would put the handfuls of incense on it back there in the Holy of Holies. And that cloud would arise. And I think about with our lives, brothers and sisters, how that praise and thanksgiving for the blood, and the blood in the full knowledge of this wondrous pattern that the Word of God says, this pattern for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You think what a praise and a worship that this brings forth in our lives. So as we conclude tonight, the one thing we can say is it's all at the cross. It's all at the cross. Praise God. Aren't we thankful? Whom he has made free, is he indeed? It's the seed that remaineth. Praise God. We'd never be separated from the love of God. He's for us. Who could be against us? It says, even when we believe not, he abides faithful still. I will perform the good work which I've begun in thee. That was perfect grace, 5555, in all our weakness. Brothers and sisters, all I can just say is trust him. He didn't put this calling upon our lives. He didn't give us this word not to perform it. He didn't give us this vision by his grace for us to see it afar off. It was to draw nigh and to complete and to have complete confidence. Praise God, everything was done at the altar by the Lamb. The work's finished. You go from there and all you're doing, you're enjoying. You're in the rich room. You're in all of that wonderful riches of his glory and grace. All of that fellowship. All that sufficient grace fully given in the all-powerful blood. And that's the power. That's the power that takes us past the brazen altar into the finished work, into all the other things of the tabernacle, even into the jointly reigning cherubim of the Holy of Holies. It's all by the blood. Bring me the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. And it's wonderful. Let's stand and be dismissed.